Good morning. So, have you ever done something and almost immediately wondered, why did I do that? What was I thinking? I have. Have you ever said something that you wish you would have left unsaid because you knew that the words that came out of your mouth caused another person harm? I have. Have you attempted to do something that you knew was going to be difficult and you believed you could do it anyway, and then you realized you were not strong enough to finish? I have. How about a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake and failed miserably at something that was supposed to be easy? I have. How about this one? Have you ever been rejected or treated poorly and you had no idea why? Me too. I can list many experiences, some that I have certainly brought upon myself, some that I might say the world has brought to me, that create a really detailed list and description of a broken, imperfect, sinful person, someone who's at times maybe has felt beat up by certain painful life experiences. I need redemption, and I need forgiveness. I need redemption, I need forgiveness every day of my life, and most days I need it more frequently than that. But you know what? I'm rather confident standing here today that I'm likely not alone in this. I think it's possible that some of you sitting here today or joining us online have also found yourself amidst regret or wondering how you could possibly redeem an event or a relationship from your past. I think that many of us share this morning in holding on to burdens, labels for ourselves or others that are heavy with sin and heavy with shame. Many of us wish to forget the reminders of our human imperfection. Many of us are currently this morning in scenarios that are calling for us to offer grace and forgiveness to other people, yet we're struggling to do so, holding on to anger, holding on to grudges. And many of us right now are searching for forgiveness from family members, from our friends, from our coworkers, and indeed all of us are in need of it from our Heavenly Father. God's word tells us that Jesus' death and work on the cross indeed covers our greatest sins, our biggest failures. Praise God that we can receive his most gracious gift of his forgiveness to us. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So we're going to dive in this morning, and as we do so, let's just review because we've been studying Ephesians. The book of Ephesians contains a letter from Paul to the people of Ephesus, and we have to stop because I think it's really incredible and inspiring that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter and had it sent back to the people of Ephesus. He was in prison and he was writing a letter to inspire all of the people back in Ephesus, encourage them in Christ. He had spent his earlier years in Ephesus in ministry, helping people become followers of Jesus. And he begins this letter with a poem praising God for what he has done in Christ. He explains that anyone can be in the family of Christ, and that Jesus' death covers and redeems all of our sins and all of our failures, all of it. This is described. And then later in Paul's letter, he therefore challenges us to live close to Christ as we continue to be showered in God's kindness. So as we focus today on Ephesians 1:7, we see the words redemption and forgiveness. Redemption and forgiveness, these are pivotal words. They're pivotal, critical teachings in our lives as Christians. And both are mentioned in the Bible more than just a few times. They're mentioned quite frequently. And they're critical and central to the good news. To start, we learn that we have redemption through his blood. If we take a look at the New Living Translation, because this is from the New International Version, but if we hop over to the NLT, this is translated as he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. And we're gonna learn a little bit more about this. Historically, redemption was the price paid for a slave to gain freedom. If this is something that is of interest to you, you can check out Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 through 54, and that details and helps us better explain this concept more fully. The Bible Dictionary explains to appreciate the New Testament theme of redemption, the position of human beings as slaves of sin must be assumed. Thus, they must be set free in order to be liberated servants of the Lord. We know the truth. Jesus paid the price to release us from being slaves to our sin. As Jesus followers, we serve a loving God who sent his son to the cross so that we can be free. We are redeemed. Titus 2:14 reminds us that Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Stop to consider the fact and the truth that nothing you can do, nothing that we can do can make this happen. Nothing can redeem us from our wickedness other than Christ on the cross for us. It is only his work on the cross that can redeem, and it is his death that points us and directs us to redemption. It is his death that points us towards forgiveness. Nothing we can do can make that happen. Paul says in Ephesians 1:7 that not only do we have redemption through his blood, but we also have forgiveness of sins. So what about forgiveness? I think that most of us know that forgiveness is something that we should offer to other people. We should be forgiving people. But how do we receive it? What does that look like for you? How do we live in forgiveness? How do we live with forgiveness? Paul, we get to explain. The Bible Dictionary says that forgiveness is giving up resentment or claim to requital on account of an offense. The normal conditions of forgiveness are repentance and the willingness to make reparation or atonement. The effect of forgiveness is the restoration of both parties to the former state of the relationship. So historically, forgiveness of debts and trespasses were redeemed through the shedding of animal blood. And this is important. Hebrews 9:22 states that the law requires nearly everything to be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So hold on to that. Because now, forgiveness is something that you receive through Christ. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, we are forgiven on the basis of Jesus' blood. Now we are forgiven. Jesus' death covers it all. It forgives all of our sins, all of our failures. Because look, we all have decisions. We have events in our past. There's that thing we really wish that we could get a do-over on. We all have those things. But Jesus' death and God's grace covers it all, and we live a new life in Christ. Paul describes to us that the work of Jesus Christ, because of that, we are redeemed, forgiven, And we are called to live a life that is demonstrative of the gospel's impact upon us. We're called to live a life that demonstrates in every aspect of our lives that we are followers of Jesus as we live close to Christ. Paul later writes in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Remember, only his grace and work on the cross saves us. Only his work on the cross points us to redemption and forgiveness. We should rest in his mercy and in his grace. We must receive his gift to us. You are redeemed and forgiven in Christ. Every single one of us can live in this reality. Each one of us can be free of the chains and the bondage of the world when we remember who we really are. When we remember the high price that was paid for our redemption, the purchase with his blood that forgives us and sets us free. As a chosen child of God, created in his image, you can live free from the bondage of shame. You can break free from the chains of sin. You can be free of the chains that come with self-hatred. Break the chains of the worldly labels and the characterizations and the mischaracterizations that come with walking this earth. God sent his only son for you and for me and for all of us, so we can and we should break free. Our Father in heaven, he sees us as so much more. He wants more for us because we were created in his image. He sees us as more of the labels that the world rests upon us. Release yourself of the lies and the labels, because you are certainly more than your shame. You are more than your guilt. You're more than your regret. He sees you as more than the grudges that you hold or that are held against you. He sees you more than your addiction. He knows you are more than the feelings of inadequacy that you experience, and he believes and knows that you are certainly more than your past. Let's watch this together. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." In Christ, we are free. In Christ, we are no longer slaves to our sin. We are redeemed, and we can break free. God wants more for us than any of these things, and he sees each one of us as a beautiful child. So how can we really break free? There are many ways and many processes and mantras and things that we can do as a part of our daily routines, but we're going to focus in on three this morning. You can rest in knowing who you are. You can repent and live in the reality of forgiveness. And you can receive and overflow with his style of lavish love. So we can break free when we rest in knowing who we are. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, states that yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's something we hear a lot, that you are a child of God. And as people have faith in Christ and the power of the resurrection, we are God's children. As people who have faith in Christ and the power of the resurrection, we are God's children. Believe it. Rest in it. Knowing that you are a beloved child of God. He created you in his image as his child. Let's read Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 together. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We know that his works are wonderful, and we are created in his image. Each one of us can and should cast our worries upon him and lay our misgivings, lay our mistakes down at the foot of the cross, because in Christ we are eternally secure. We can know that his grace and forgiveness is greater than any of it. It's greater than all of it. God loves us more than we can even imagine. It's mind-boggling at times. So stay close to him. Spend time with God the Father every day in prayer, growing with him, growing in him. Spend time with God the Father, learning of his truth by reading his word. Do so and continue to deepen your relationship with him. Continue to grow in Christ and to love him more and more each and every single day as he continues to love you. As he continues to set you free from your sin and to release you from your shame. Accept that you are imperfect. Accept that you are imperfect, and accept that he loves you anyway. We can break free when we repent and live in the reality of forgiveness. Every single one of us has regret, and every single one of us deals with issues of sin. Every single one of us has shame or guilt. Regrettable, bad decisions tend to stick with us like glue, and they are heavy. Heavy things to carry. If you continue to carry it, it can become formative. The enemy wants us to identify with all of these lies and the shame and the guilt of our yesterday, the sin of our yesteryear, but the reality is that no one other than Christ is perfect. No one. We all must confess and repent our sins, again, staying close to Jesus in prayer. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just and will forgive us. We have the chance each and every day to seek forgiveness and be forgiven. We can live in the reality of forgiveness and healing. In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, author John Ortberg has some things to say, and he writes, many of us struggle at this point, not so much understanding the message of forgiveness, but with living the reality of it. This inability to accept the reality of forgiveness is the reason that God has given us the practice of confession. Ortberg goes on to write, but confession is not just naming what we have done in the past. It involves our intentions about the future as well. It requires a kind of promise. As God does his work in us through the process of confession, we will feel a deep desire not to do the hurtful thing again. So we make a vow. We resolve that with God's help, we will change. With God's help, we will change. This will involve trying to set right what we did wrong to the extent that such is possible. We need to confess and repent so that we can find healing and a changed way. You can confess. You can repent. And in Christ, you can release yourself from the shame and the regret of your mistakes. You can find healing in Christ. You can be changed, and you can live life anew as you live in the reality of his forgiveness. When we live in the reality of his forgiveness, we truly do live a new life. We live a life in which we readily receive loving kindness, and as we do so, just as Paul says, all of the aspects of our lives are changed. We live in Christ's lavish love, and as we do so, we're called to share it. You can break free as you are redeemed and forgiven in Christ, and then you get to go out into the world and share it. When we break free, we overflow with his lavish style of love. As a child of God, you already live in the reality of his grace and forgiveness. We are made free in Christ. We are not slaves held prisoner to our past. And in our freedom, we are called to overflow with grace, overflow with love, overflow with kindness, and the forgiveness that we are gifted. You're already forgiven and redeemed in Christ. He sees each and every one of you as his children who are beautiful, who are wonderful, and who are loved. And there are days that this feels really simple. I am a beloved child of God. And it's really easy to accept sometimes. And then other days, often in the face of trials and stress and our humanly mistakes, it's hard. It's hard to avoid the trap and believe the lies that we hear from other people, the lies that we hear in this world, and it's really hard to avoid the lies we tell ourselves. I've been hurt, and I know I've hurt other people. I have been deeply disappointed, and I know I have caused deep disappointment for my nearest and dearest. I've been angry, and I also have to accept that I have made others that I really care for very angry. These are tough situations, and the emotional reactions that we have in response to these types of scenarios can feel like giant mountains to climb. And if we're honest, sometimes it can be hard to offer loving grace and forgiveness in the midst of those wounds. But we can do it. We can do it in Christ as we strive to be more like Jesus every day. Overflowing the same style of love and forgiveness that's been given to you, that's been given to me, it can feel like a process. It stretches us. It requires us to humbly submit to God and his will for us. It takes prayer. It takes practice. We don't always get it right. And it certainly takes the Holy Spirit working before and in and through us. It takes the intentional work of reconciliation to work towards redeeming and repairing what currently feels broken. You already are forgiven, and you're also called to forgive others as a part of your Christian journey. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." Forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. You can overflow with his lavish style of love and grace to others. Be giving and forgiving. In another letter written by Paul, this time to the Colossians, and I'm in chapter 3, verse 9, we receive some guidance on living life anew. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The message is clear. These are really important and very practical instructions for each one of us on how to live life anew, that we must believe that in Christ we are changed. We are forgiven and redeem. We must take off the old self. It's quite a visual image for me to take off the old self and put on the new life. A life that's full of forgiveness and grace, even when it feels hard. Full of grace and forgiveness, even when it feels hard. C.S. Lewis famously said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Imagine what your life and relationships would look like if you fully accepted the forgiveness that is freely offered to you by King Jesus. Free, if you accepted that, imagine what your world would be like. And then you went out into the world and shared that same style of love with everyone you encountered. Your spouse, your parents, your children, the grocery store cashier, the person holding the door for you as you leave this morning. Imagine what it would be like if we went out and shared that same style of love. There would be such joy and peace and contentment and love. So much that is broken can be redeemed. So much can be redeemed. You could see and you could share the very, very best version of yourself with every single person around you. You could share the version that's created in his image, the one that he sees as his beautiful child. You could share that with every single person you encounter. And you would gain the opportunity to experience every single person that you interact with as they are another member of the family of God, just as they are. And as you leave today, remember to praise God for the truth that you are more than your past. You are more than your mistakes. You are more than your weaknesses. Each one of us in Christ is forgiven and redeemed. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you so very much that you sent your son Jesus to the cross for us. Thank you for his work on the cross that sets us free. God, we're so grateful for your loving kindness, for your forgiveness, and we believe that all of your works are wonderful. We know that only you redeem, Lord, King Jesus, only you make things new. We come to you humbly and we commit ourselves to you, Lord. We seek you, we desire your grace, we desire your forgiveness, and we seek to become more like you. Help us to share your style of love with people that we encounter and guide us so that all of our actions are a reflection of you. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Amen.